Star 94.1, and we welcome Shirley Murdoch. Shirley, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I am blessed and fortunate to be talking to the Shirley Murdoch.
Oh, the pleasure's mine.
Shirley, first of all, let's talk about some things you did a while back in R&B and mainstream. And a lot of people probably remember you for a song called As We Lay.
Yeah, those are my back in the day folks.
Oh, yeah. How did that song propel you in front of a national audience?
Well, let me give you a little bit of history on that song. Some people think that, you know, Kelly Price was probably the first person to redo that song, but I was actually the first person to redo it. Roger Troutman, who is my producer, my mentor, you know, God rest his soul, he had a group called The Human Body. And that group consisted of Billy Beck from the Ohio Players. Remember the Ohio Players?
I sure do.
He's a keyboard player for the Ohio Players, and he used to sing with the Ohio Players. Ray Davis, who's deceased now, he's that really low voice you heard on Atomic Dog, that Bow Wow Yah Yippee Yo Yippee A.
Right.
Ray Davis and the horn player for P-Funk. You know, they had the horn players were called the Horny Horns. And so there was Larry Hatcher, who was with P-Funk also. Those three group called The Human Body. And so they had a record, I think it was probably on Bearsville, like in the early 80s. And so As We Lay was a song that was on their record. So it was sung by a man. But, you know, it never really got into the ears of the people, but everybody in our camp said we knew it was a hit record because of the fact that it just really reflected everyday life, you know, because either you know somebody that's been in that situation or, you know, you've been in that situation, but it's just real life drama, life soap opera. So it was probably one of the last songs to go on my very first CD. I remember Larry and Roger, my manager, Larry Troutman, come and talk to me and said, "Shirley, we really think we should put this song on your record." And I specifically remember having a lunch meeting with him, discussing the song, and I said, "Well, you know, I know the song is a hit, but I've got one problem with it. And as it stands, to me, ain't nobody sorry about that thing. So if I sing this song, we must add this lyric." And what I added to the original version of As We Lay was, "We should have counted up the cost, but instead we got lost in the second, in the minute, in the hour, As We Lay." Because As We Lay was really not, the song that I was singing about was never a song to celebrate infidelity. It was a song that talked about a real-life situation that real-life people can get into, and the fact that good people can make bad decisions. It never celebrated, you know, the act of the infidelity. It talked about the fact that, yes, it did happen, but, you know, it's mourning and we slept the night away. But the real meat of As We Lay is the fact that hindsight is 20/20, and that you need to count up the cost before you get lost. Because it's very bad to make a permanent decision based upon a temporary situation, and that there's a price tag attached to every decision that you make in life. And not only does the decision that you make in life, not only does it affect you, but it affects everybody you affect. So the important thing to get the wisdom out of As We Lay was to understand the story that these two people went through in the song, and to understand the regret and being sorry about betraying the trust of the people that they loved. And if you could get that wisdom out of it, then you can truly get the meat and the potatoes out of As We Lay, the song.
We're talking to Shirley Murdoch. Shirley, there's another song, Computer Love.
Yes.
And did you think, when you recorded it back then, that people in the 2000s would be talking about computer love?
No, of course not. Even back then, I mean, you know, when rap came out, some, you know, people in the music industry thought that was a fad, you know, but rap and hip hop, you know, is a real and it's a strong force in the music industry today. I mean, we're sitting up there, you know, just trying to put together a ballot together for Talkbox, you know. I think my husband, Dale DeGroat, who was Roger's music director for many, many years, he's still the music director for the group Zap. He was having a conversation with Roger, like, you know, what about a ballot? You know, to do something different with the Talkbox. What about a ballot between two computers? And so that was really the genesis of Computer Love, and then just being, you know, having the opportunity to co-write that song with Roger, and to show you what something that we never fathomed is not only is the song alive and well today, but it's probably one of the most sampled songs from the Warner Brothers catalog. So many rappers, you know, have sampled it. So if me being, you know, a part of a mother, like a mother of the song Computer Love, I got lots of grandkids because it's been sampled and made into very, you know, so many other songs. So it's really just an opportunity for your music to stay alive and to be heard by the next generation. So it's really, it's you're right. It's no way could we have imagined in 2007 that people would, and you know, I'm also hearing that from radio personalities that even Azriel Lay is probably still one of the most requested songs that there is today.
It is.
I recently got a friend of mine emailed me an article out of Jet, because Jet magazine was celebrating their 55th anniversary, and they went through like their top 20 number one singles within the 55 years, and Azriel Lay ranked number 13.
Wow.
And it was on the charts for 13 weeks out of the top 20, and Aretha Franklin and I were the only two females in 55 years to be in the top 20. So that was really an honor when I got a chance to see that.
Definitely something special. And speaking of something special, let's talk about Roger Troutman a minute, because I had the opportunity, and I guess everybody has a Roger story.
Yeah.
But I had the opportunity, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, doing radio, and Roger came in to do an interview. And I've never met anyone so down to earth. Roger talked with me. We had fun. He acted as if we had been knowing each other for years. After that, Roger invited me the night before the concert. He said, come on past the hotel room. I came past. We kicked it, you know. Went over in the limousine and everything. And then I met him a couple of other times. You know, we kicked it.
And he remembered you?
He remembered me.
He remembered when you met, how you met. That's just the way Roger was.
And I mean, what took me was one time we were walking. You know, I said, Roger, you know, the concert hall is right across the street. And he said, we don't need a limo. And I said, Roger, you going to walk out here? He said, sure. Roger and I, we were walking up the street, and he was, like, shaking hands with everybody, talking to everybody. Tell everybody how down to earth, I mean, I love that brother, how down to earth Roger was.
What you see is what you get.
Hey.
Roger was only one way. Roger, I believe, was a child prodigy. Roger could play any instrument that there was, and even as a young fella, you know, he was playing the guitar was bigger than he was.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he started off with a group called Little Roger. It was him and his brother Lester and another gentleman from Hamilton, Ohio, you know, where he grew up. And they even as a young boy, he would go around and play all over the place. And I mean, he was just so talented. But the awesome thing about Roger is the one thing that Roger wanted to do. He thought it was part of his mission and part of his walk in life was to make people happy. You know, I think that this might be a lyric from Dance Floor, but or Do I Diddy. I'm trying to think which song it was.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the lyric says, "Forget about your troubles, get on down."
Okay.
You know, and like you can dance in the morning when you eat your cornflakes. I can make you dance if you want me to. You know, but I mean, you know, Roger just wanted to make people happy. He wanted to make people forget about their troubles for the hour, 15 minutes, however long he was on stage. He wanted you to forget the problems that you had at home. He wanted you to forget about the problems you were having with your boss. And he just wanted your spirit to be uplifted. Roger was also a very unselfish front man. You know, he was very open with his stage. He would give you opportunity to come out. He only had one request. Do not bore my fans.
Hey.
If I let you out there, do not bore my fans. Roger told me something. Roger and his family, his brother Larry, Lester, the Troutman family, they really raised me up in the music industry. And here's one piece of advice that Roger gave me as a young artist coming up. He was like my big brother, you know, my dear, dear friend and my mentor. And so he said to me when Azriel Lay was on the charts, he said, baby girl, he said, when that record started coming down the charts, he said, come see me, I got to talk to you. So when I went to Roger and talked to him, this is what he said to me.